Hi, welcome to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Be sober. That means you're not drunk with wine, and you're not drunk with the influences that the devil uses. Do you realize that when you get scared, adrenaline pumps? That's a drug. And sometimes things do stick in your system because you've been on that adrenaline of fear and worry constantly, and all of a sudden it sticks, and now you live there. It affects your body. Your body gets used to it. It's just like people who are bulimic and anorexic. They start throwing up their food. Eventually, they don't have to try. The body starts doing that automatically. So you understand, the Bible says we need to have God's Word clearly in our minds. We need to be sober. We need to be clear-minded. It says, but let us, verse 8, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, you remember the armor of the Lord back in Ephesians chapter 6, right? He only mentions a breastplate and a helmet here. That's significant, because the breastplate is the breastplate of faith and love. That's because you're going to be going forward into battle. Okay? And what are you leading with? Love and faith. That's what you're called to. You say, well, I don't like loving people. Take it up with the commander, okay? You don't have a choice. You either do it, or you're disobedient, or you're not saved. I'm telling you guys. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Who have you loved this past week? Really, who did you love? Self? That's not what he's talking about. I get that one, okay? That one comes easy. I'm talking about loving others. I'm talking about giving a little personal inconvenience and trying to rein yourself in. Maybe there's somebody down in Skid Row and they don't smell as good. Maybe there's somebody who's in the office that they intimidate you, but you're scared of them, so you don't talk to them. You need to love the people around you. And part of loving people is curbing your liberty. Yes, to the pure all things are pure, but you rein that in because they don't understand that liberty. You rein that in. You realize you're dead to sin. You're freed from sin. If I was God, I would not have told you that. But God saw fit to tell you that. You've got the gun in your hand. What are you going to do with it? You're going to shoot somebody because you've got liberty? Knock it off. Live righteous life. Amen? Come on. Help me out. I'm just preaching now. This is important. Faith and love. This is a war. Time for all the nonsense to stop. Quit clicking on the wrong places on your mouse. Stop being ornery in your marriage and your family. Start loving your wife. Love her. Love your husband. And love your family that don't love Jesus. Help them see, because you have been gracious and meek and calm and collected in your love to them, even though they know you don't agree. Stay off of the harsh things until you get a moment, because God will bring a moment if you're praying. My dad got saved on his deathbed when his speech was gone. I mean, we're talking, wow, right? 83 or 84 years old, wow! Trusting Jesus. I'm telling you guys, we need to lead with faith and love. One has pointed out that when you lead with faith and love, the world around you will begin to respond to you in a different way. You do not have the right to be snarky to people in your day-to-day. You can't do that. That is a sin. I'm telling you, I hear it. I see it. I know how easy it is to be it. But I'm telling you, you can't do that. You don't have the right. You are your brother's keeper. You are. If they don't know about Jesus because you've been misbehaving and they can't hear you, then you've not been a very good keeper. We have to be mindful. Love and faith. Breastplate. What about the helmet? Hope of salvation. Hope! Hope! People who don't know about what's coming have no hope. They're despairing. They're thinking, oh my goodness. Do you know when the Blessed Hope got set on the shelf? Was when in 300 A.D., when Constantine brought the church into the state and he got them nice pillowed seats, nice chalice in their hand, nice influence in the government, and suddenly they were so comfortable they didn't need to get out of Dodge anymore. For 200 years they'd been slaughtered. And at the time of the Roman ascension into Christianity, they began to say, I'm pretty comfortable. And then they began to manipulate, because evil men will do what evil men do. And then they began to manipulate you with ideas that you have to work to be saved, ideas that you have to have your baby baptized or they're going to limbo. How terrifying. A lot of people's children died. They're going to limbo. Your loved one died, they go to purgatory and have to burn for a while. If you don't pay for a high mass, they don't get out. This is Romanism. Give us more money. Give us more money. We'll do it in Latin. Just ask us. We'll tell you what we said. Don't mind the man behind the curtain like in Wizard of Oz, right? They started telling you you had to go to confession and tell all your secrets while they were saying that they were celibate, and they weren't. There's a lot of evil in this world. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 16, it says there's evil in the place of justice and there's an evil in the place of righteousness. The place of righteousness is in the religious world. The place of justice is in the courtrooms and in the political world. And Solomon says, I just don't mind in my business. God will take care of that. He says, I just do what I need to do. That's what the passage goes on to say. Ecclesiastes 3. Does God know this? Yes. Don't be shocked. He told you. Oh, I didn't read it. But you should have, right? You should know that. I preached it before. If you didn't hear it here, you should have read it in your daily reading. No excuses, guys. The gloves are off. The devil's afoot. Are we going to play this game still? We going to play it? Because I think a lot of people are. When I hear these guys on the radio and on the internet and different people who are talking and they're talking about a great reset and all this and they're excited and they're Christians or whatever, they have no idea what they're talking about. And when they're swearing while they're talking, I'm like, I can't even hear you. I can't even hear you, and I'm a Christian. I understand why you think you can do that, but I have no idea why you do that. I have no idea. I cannot justify that. You cannot do that. You're on radio, TV, and you're cussing like a sailor. I'm sorry, but this is a problem for me. I preach my heart out, and we're on the radio, and we're on the internet, so I'm not just talking to us in the room. I'm talking further than this room. But I want you to know this stuff matters to God. He cares about what we do, and it's really an evidence of what we believe. Because if you believe right, you'll behave right. And if you're not behaving right, you're not believing right. You need to dig into the Word of God. The Bible says, if you don't have the helmet of the hope of salvation, you're going to get hit in the head and you're going to be totally delirious, because that's what the devil does. Get your helmet on. Understand the hope. Make sure you've done everything that you should do. The Bible says in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Do you know that? See, a lot of people don't know that. But what he's saying there is, you're not going through the tribulation. He's saying God's already poured out His wrath on your sin at Calvary, if you're a child of God. He's not going to pour out His wrath upon you again. He's going to pour it out on the world, because they don't know Him. And it's a mercy that He does, because they will be startled, many of them, awake, and they will get saved. Revelation 7 says, out of tribulation is going to become a great multitude is going to come out. But they're going to have to come out a hard way. The hard way. They're going to have to come out through martyrdom. They're going to have to come out with great heat and blisters and heat and misery. The Bible says, "You, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation." The literal translation of that word is, but to the acquiring of salvation. And when you see it coming down to verse 10, the Bible says, obtaining of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, now we went back to the idea of being dead, whether we're here alive and awake and aware, or whether we're asleep, because those that were dead and sleep, we will not prevent those who fall asleep in the Lord. It says in verse 10, we should live together with Him. Now, underline those words if you don't underline any other ones, that we should live together with Him. If you're awake, you're supposed to be living with Jesus. This is eternal life, 17:3 of John says, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Did you know that's what eternal life is? Did you know that that's what eternal life is? It's not just that you get to live forever, it's that you may know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. You're supposed to have a relationship with Him. Just like you live with your wife or your husband, live with your children, live with your parents, it's all the same. You're supposed to live with Jesus like that. Whether we wake or whether we sleep, we will live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves, edify one another, even as you also do. In conclusion, I want you to understand something about this idea of living with Jesus, this idea of having a relationship with Him, because it talks about us to acquiring salvation. That's the hope, and we look forward to it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom we were sealed in Christ. We have redemption. And the Bible says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, that's a lot of gobbledygook if you think about it, a lot of big words. But what he just said was, the Spirit of God was given to you as a down payment that you're going to be taken home one day. And what he tells us is he says, there's coming a redemption. Didn't we already have it? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Some of you go to Sam's Club or some of these places where they get a big push-around cart, maybe at a big box store, and they've got all this stuff waiting for you, and it's got your name on it. There it is. There's Dave Davenport. It's got Davenport on that thing. All this stuff I've got. All this stuff. It's on this cart. Don't know what I'm going to do with this stuff. I'm going to put my other stuff. But I got my stuff. It's got my name on it. But you know what? Even though I paid for it already, because that's what you have to do. They're going to put in all that time. Even though I paid for it, I didn't go get it yet. Jesus already paid for us, and He's coming to get us. And His name's on us. And the Bible says there's going to be a day in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. The Bible says, and not only is the world groaning, but we ourselves also are groaning, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Aren't we already adopted? Yes. He says, waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of the body. The Bible says that the Lord Himself will descend with a shout and the voice of an archangel. And the Bible says that we shall be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He's going to descend. He's going to catch us up. And this mortality is going to put on immortality. This mortal is going to put on immortality. Death's going to be swallowed up of life. And we will ever be with the Lord from there on out. We're talking about some amazing days ahead for the believer. Do you have the hope of salvation? Because if you have it, lean into it, okay? This is the time. Don't be leaning into your computer screen. Lean into Jesus. Lean into the truth. Lean into the peace, because He is the Prince of Peace. And if you're walking and living with Him, He will guide you through. The path to home is with Jesus. He is the way. You know, you don't need a GPS if you have somebody who knows how to get there. Just ask Him. He's going to tell you, I'll turn right here. I tell you, you and I are so bad at taking directions sometimes, aren't we? He's saying, I want you to know, I got you. If you'll just trust me, I'll get you through. So no matter what happens this week or in the weeks to come, our King is the King of Kings. And we can trust Him. Would you bow with me for a moment? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to ask you to ponder what we've heard about today. The Bible says there's going to come a time on this earth when it's going to get really bad. And it tells us that there's going to come a time when you and I will maybe want to faint for fear. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus is the one who will get us through and be able to take that fear away from us if we will trust Him. And then He will use us for a testimony in Luke chapter 21. He's going to use you for testimony. And that people will deceive one another, betray one another to the authorities and be put to death. But He says right after that, He says, but not one hair of your head will perish. He says, you may be put to death, but not one hair of your head will perish. He's the only one that can promise like that. Would you please come to Jesus if you haven't already? If you're His child, would you please just reach out to Him? In your heart of hearts right now, say, Lord, I am sorry. I need to get my game face on. I need to really realize how dark it is out there and how much I need my light to be shining. Please help me to distance myself from all darkness, because I am the only one some people will hear from that belongs to you. Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.